The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Back with my guy, Eric Adelson, who I'm so proud of and happy for. I got to mention it again. Now a professor at UCF. You know, more of a profile at the institution, going to shape more minds, and we need professors like EA shaping the journalists up tomorrow. Anyway, I digress. EA, as we said before we went, or I asked you before we went to the break, what do you see? Everyone has an opinion on what they think the long-term impact of this will be. I've seen some fans, some former players, fellow radio show hosts just mentioned, now this is a sign of the end of college athletics. What say you?
No, I think that there's huge loyalty to schools, and I think that that will never go away. And I think there even right now in basketball, you can probably find some of the best non-NBA players in the G League. But, I mean, people don't even know what their local G League team is. They can't name the team. They can't name, and you can automatically cheer for some less overall talented players because they go to your school, because they go to the school that you love. And it's a national. Michigan is a national brand. It's an international brand. You know, I'm watching swim trials, and when I see that Maize and Blue, I mean, go there. But you know, when I see the Maize and Blue cap, I'm like, oh yeah, sweet. What was the swimmer's name? I think her name was Sherry Schmidt. She was in like lane 8, mm-hmm. and she was dancing. She was like doing TikTok dances before she got on the blocks. And I'm like, oh, that's my favorite. She went to Michigan. You know, I'm cheering for her. And that will never die. That kind of loyalty will continue as long as there's college. And that's when came long before all the money came into the sports, and it will be here now. So I do not think it will kill college athletics. Will there be unforeseen consequences? Yes, there were, just like when we went from the BCS to the playoff, it was the beginning of the end of the bowls, which troubles me greatly. And I think that trend might continue. You have Alabama, Clemson every single year. That's a problem. I think that might continue and escalate. So I'm not saying that this is the panacea, not at all. Mm-hmm. I just think that people will always cheer for their teams, their schools. Because that's, you know, it's tribalism in a good way, usually in a good way. And that's really so much of what America is and what humanity is being a part of a group. And this will not change the group loyalty that so many people in America feel.
Absolutely. All right. So EA, shifting gears, big time, you know, important story coming out yesterday, and it was without a whole lot of fanfare. It wasn't a press conference. It was an Instagram post from former Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, Carl Nassib, who is a defensive end for the Las Vegas Raiders now. He came out yesterday. I mean, he came out on Instagram that with the news that he's gay. And he did so not for any, he wasn't seeking praise. It wasn't a me moment as much as it was a we moment. He said, I am coming forth not for the adulation that comes with coming out in the media sphere right now. There is as much praise as there is from media and folks across the social media sphere. There's a real risk here that he might get some pushback on the field and in the locker rooms, but he did it anyway because he said it's important for representation. I'm curious your thoughts on the significance of Carl Nassib coming out yesterday.
I think it's significant. This is obviously a sport that's so big on machismo and you know, masculinity, and I think that there's an incorrect thought that if you're gay, you're not as tough. And I think that he's already proven at Penn State and through in the NFL that he is. It's sad that we're in 2021 and this is really the first. You know, you say Michael Sam, but he didn't really make the NFL. Mm-hmm. And so this is a very good thing. He's already proven he's good enough. Yes, there'll be pushback, there'll be blowback for sure. But this is another step. It's really one of the most remarkable societal transitions in my lifetime. you know, Obama, when he first ran, was against gay marriage. He said and now this has only been, what, 13 years, 14 years. You know, now pretty much every major politician in the Democratic Party is for gay marriage, and some of the Republicans are too. And so we are now in a different place. It's a major transition, and it's reflected in our sports. It's not over at all. And, you know, a lot of people on social media saying, I hope that this is not newsworthy in the future. It is still newsworthy. It's still very much newsworthy, and it probably will be for a while, but it's less and less newsworthy. It's less polarizing. And I think that that's a great thing. So there'll still be hurdles. There'll still be obstacles to this. There's a reason it's only been done once yesterday. You know, good for him. And also good for – there's a lot of kids today who feel a little bit less scared and isolated because of what he did. And that's really, to me, the most important thing. Because if you're having – kids have doubts and self-confidence problems anyway. But if you're having gender identity, sexual identity concerns and questions and doubts, someone like a football hero coming out, I think that makes you feel a little bit less alone. And that's really big.
Absolutely. All right, EA. Shifting gears again now to the NBA playoffs. The Brooklyn Nets are out, but for a toe on the line by KD on an amazing game-extending shot. Maybe the Nets, despite the injuries to James Harden, who is a shadow of himself, and Kyrie Irving, who was out, they almost made it. But you understand why they're out. You know, they injuries did them in ultimately. If they have two of their big three, I think they put the Milwaukee Bucks down. The Philadelphia 76ers, though, EA, I think that we just witnessed with them one of the premier choke jobs in sports in our lifetimes. I do not think that that's hyperbole when you consider that while they did have an injury issue with Joel Embiid, he still was tremendous. He still was outstanding. Sure, he turned the basketball over a little bit too much for anyone's liking that supports Philadelphia, but he was still a tremendous scoring punch for them. But they had, in back-to-back games, EA, a 26-point lead and an 18-point lead, and they lost both games and eventually lost the series to a team that had to replace their coach mid-season because he was under 500. And here they are, the Atlanta Hawks, going to the NBA, to the Eastern Conference Finals. This was a massive choke job, in my opinion, by the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, you know, I think it's appropriate that this is that we're talking about this on lottery day, because you know the process has failed. Meanwhile, the Bucks, they are where they are because they made the right pick. I mean, Giannis was not a top 10 pick, and they just made the right pick. And the I was about to say the Eagles, the Sixers. Just so used to talking about the Eagles is like, you know, kind of not living up to expectation. But the Sixers, and I picked them. I mean, I picked them on your show all year. I thought that they were coming out of the East. I thought the Nets were a little bit overrated and couldn't get it done in the end. But I was certainly wrong about the Sixers. But the thing is that they just didn't have the coaching and they didn't have the correct mix of players. They had the talent, but they didn't have the right mix of players. And that's why they're sitting and watching. And the Bucks, to their credit, and the Hawks, really, to their credit, they had chemistry. They had chemistry, and they knew each other's roles. And Giannis, I mean, he didn't really step up in a way that I kind of thought he might. It was really a team effort. Middleton and Drew Holiday, and that's what great teams do at the end. And the Sixers are not a great team. And I got that part wrong. But good for the Bucks, good for the Hawks. You know, being here in Orlando, Atlanta's the rival. And so there's a little bit of bitterness seeing the Hawks do so well. But man, I mean, Ice Trey, that is super impressive. Him and Booker, I'm just so impressed by how well that they've played. They just get better as the playoffs go on, and that's rare. I'm so impressed with them. And meanwhile, on the other side, you know, the Sixers, certainly Doc Rivers, and KD has been incredible. But some of the some players just don't show up to the utmost when it matters the most. And, you know, Trae Young, Devin Booker, even though they're so young, they've been awesome.
Yeah, Devin Booker, again, 13th pick in the draft. I mean, that's great drafting. I think they must have had a call in to our friend Zeke down in Atlanta, who was saying all along that he was worthy of being picked much higher in the draft, maybe even by the Detroit Pistons, who they passed on. We'll come back to general managers or front offices who make the right decisions, and that it's about having good front office representation. And I just want to challenge that a little bit here in a second as my dog goes crazy. Anyway, getting to though Philadelphia, who is it? Is it Doc Rivers, or is it Ben Simmons, who in the final game, the deciding game, EA, he takes 4 shots. He goes 1 for 2 from the free throw line. Say what you will about his inability to hit a jump shot, his poor free throw shooting. But I compare that to Giannis and what after that game, was it game 5 defeat, where, you know, you got KD, he goes off for 49. It's like the epic performance that defines KD at this point. This is the best performance ever. And Giannis came out the next game, EA, he didn't attempt a single 3-point shot. Every shot he took was within like 5 feet of the rim. He just said, look, I am going to attack, and I'm going to attack with abandon. I'm going to be aggressive, and if they stop me, if not shooting a jump shot in this game hurts us, that's fine, but I am at least going to be aggressive. I didn't see any of that from Ben Simmons, and it makes me wonder, who's more the issue? Is it Ben Simmons, or is it Doc Rivers, who had been saying all season that the Ben Simmons that we see that maybe gives us 13 assists and 10 rebounds, that's the Ben Simmons that we need. That's the Ben Simmons that's great. We don't need any more from him.
No, I think it's the coach. I mean, I think that the coach, I think that the NBA coach is probably the least influential of all the major sports coaches. But I still think that it goes to the feet of Doc Rivers, because when you're in that situation, you obviously have a player that's not mentally there, not sharp, not full of self-confidence. That's on the coach to fix. And maybe it can't be fixed. I don't know. You know, maybe he's somebody who will find another team and then sort of spiral and then disappear. And then we'll always wonder what happened to Ben Simmons. But, you know, I've seen it down here with Orlando and Fultz. Fultz was kind of a mess when he arrived in Orlando, and he's turned it around. Now he's not a number one overall talent yet. He may never be. But you could just see the confidence because of the way he was coached and the way that he was supported. And that's just not something that Ben Simmons is getting. Is it all Doc Rivers' fault? No, of course not. I mean, there's plenty to go around when you lose, plenty of blame. But I just think that, again, the best teams just sort of come together. And I think a lot of that is coaching. And Budenholzer at in Milwaukee, there was plenty of reasons to think, you know, going back to last year, they flamed out in the bubble. And then this year, earlier in the series, so what's wrong with Giannis? Giannis can't shoot. He's never going to be LeBron. I said that. But they really rallied and they stayed calm, and the Sixers just didn't have it.
Well, look, in fairness to you, I think Giannis is great too. But they're going home if the Nets don't have injuries. So, I mean, that is as much as Giannis did step up, and especially in game 6, which was crucial. He had to come back in a huge way. it's not just Giannis stepping up. It's that the Nets were severely depleted, and that was a big factor in the Bucks, you know, moving on in the playoffs. To give you a little credit here now, but I got to get real quick to your point about, hey, it's about general managers making the right decisions, picking the right guys. The process didn't work. The NBA, I think, has overcorrected with, you know, these, like Ira made the point. He said, man, so the Pistons, the odds of them getting the fifth or sixth pick seem out of whack. What did you say? I was like 40%.
The odds of them getting the fourth or let me pull them back up. I think I still have, here we go. Because the odds of them getting the first pick, as we said, is 14%. The second pick is 13.4%. The third pick is 12.7%. And the fourth pick is 11.9%. But then the fifth pick is 27.8%. And the sixth pick is 20%. So you have a 47.9% chance basically of getting the fourth or the fifth or sixth pick of losing. You have a 50-50 shot of losing the lottery. But they had the second worst record. That's your point, Sam, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so to me, they've overcorrected because they want to discourage tanking. And I get your point, EA, when you say, hey, you need general managers is making the right picks. It shouldn't be about tanking. If there's a concern about tanking, I think the other point that you just made with the process, the guy who ran the process, who conceived the process, is not the general manager anymore. If you try to work the process for too long, it will correct itself. You will have that general manager get fired like Sam Hinkie was fired. I think that this current model, this current lottery model, does not assist those lower teams enough. I think it puts too much weight on having good front office leadership, on having a good general manager. Because you know what? Just like I said, it'll correct itself if you got, you know, if you tank for too long. Hey, man, if you got a bad general manager making bad picks, eventually that will correct itself. I think in the meantime, though, don't punish the fans for the ineptitude of the front office by making it harder to succeed for those guys. Like, give them more no-brainer picks, in my opinion. Let them have the number one or two pick and just get rid of the lottery and do it based on record.
No, I mean, you and I go back and forth on this, and I think that we'll continue to disagree. I just think that you're going to get so much bad basketball at the end of the season if you have this. If there's a Cade Cunningham that everybody thinks is going to be number one, and you're going to have these teams tanking, more teams tanking, not throwing games, but all but throwing games to get who they think is the number one pick. I just think that Giannis and Booker prove that there's enough gems out there that you don't have to necessarily get the one or two pick to win. And the lottery, you know what I mean, certain teams certainly get screwed, but even a team like the Pelicans that won the lottery, you know, now there's rumbles that Zion doesn't want to be there because there's not enough good players around him. You still got to build the team. Now you talk to me tomorrow, and if the Pistons get the 10th pick and the Magic get the 11th pick, yeah, I'm going to switch sides and I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to be like, yeah, put them number one and number two. But for now, I just think that if you guarantee losing will get you a number one or number two pick, I just think that every single March there's going to be just dreadful basketball. And as we see with the Sixers, it might not end up helping the team or the franchise later on. Yep.
EA, great discussion as always, and proud of you, my man. Congratulations on the new job, and looking forward to talking to you again next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, that was Eric Adelson. That is going to do it for today's show. We'll be back tomorrow, Midweek Peak with Steve Clark, another installment in the Rewind series. Recruiting roundup and much more here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan sports, Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.